Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of June 2014. Coming up in this half hour, Darrell Good calls this morning's USDA reports a double-barreled surprise. We'll hear more from him as we make our way through this edition of the Closing Market Report. Talk about those numbers, too, with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel's away this afternoon. The folks out at the Andersons will join us from right here in Champaign County to look at the cash grain markets and how they reacted to the numbers. And we'll discuss the ever-important weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago from the CME Group for Monday afternoon. July contract and the soft red winter wheat a loss today, down 20.5 cents at $5.64¾. The hard red July at 7.10½, down 15.5. July corn down 18¾ at $4.24¼. December today at 4.25¼, 22 cents lower. The March at 4.36¼ in the corn pit, down 21¾. July of next year at 4.50, down 21¼, and December of next year at $4.46½, 15¾. July beans at $14.50, down 31½ cents. November futures at $11.57¼, 70¾ of a cent lower. January futures at $11.64, down 70 cents, and the March contract at $11.70½, down 68¾. July soybeans at $11.80¾, down 66¼. November of next year, that's the 2015 crop, at $11.47½, down 43½. Bean meal was off $11.50. Bean oil down $1.13. Live cattle futures finished the June at $153 even, up 75. The August were down $1 and a nickel at $150.07½. August feeder cattle at $212.77½, down $1.55 for the day. And August lean hogs at $132.82½ per 100 pounds, they finished up the $3 limit on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the August contract, $105.40 a barrel, down 34 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $3.07¾ a cent. That's down 2½ cents. Ethanol futures are off 2½ cents as well, trading at $2.10¾ a cent. And the spread between the two is now 96¼ cents wide. That's just about unchanged from Friday. Natural gas at $4.45¼, up 4¼ cents. Diesel fuel down 2¼ cents at $2.97 a gallon. And the gold futures for the day at $1,322 even, a settlement price up $2. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 89 degrees on a south wind at 14 to 17 miles an hour. It will gust all the way to 26 tonight. Showers and thunderstorms between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. That's central time, of course. Some of those storms could be severe, so take cover if you need to. Mostly cloudy and 72 degrees. South winds at 11 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 24. Chance of precipitation for this evening set at 60%. By the way, our storm total overnight was about 6,300 or 6/10 of an inch of rain here in Urbana-Champaign for the month of June, 7¼ of an inch of rain. That's a lot of rain for this month, and it showed in the USDA numbers this morning. We'll have more on those in just a bit. We'll also talk more about the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll take it up with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies. They are in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 30th day of June. It's the last day of our fiscal year here at Illinois Public Media. If you have made your pledge of financial support, thank you so much. If not, we need all the money in the bank before we can spend it for the next fiscal year, which for us starts tomorrow. We were hoping to raise about $2.2 million. We're only $25,000 away from that goal, probably closer by this time. But if you have not made a pledge, go to willpledge.org right now or just call this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455, and help us wrap up the pledge year and the fiscal year by making our $2.2 million goal. On the phone line from Bloomington Normal this afternoon at Bates Commodities is Pete Manhart. He's in for Kurt Kimmel, who's out this afternoon, to take a look at the numbers. I think he just ran away this morning after he saw the USDA numbers, Pete.
I am here.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Excellent. So
amazing numbers.
Yeah, well, they were amazing numbers, and I talked to Daryl Good a bit earlier in the day. He was surprised by them, as was a lot of the trade, especially for the soybeans. When you took a look at those numbers, they changed both the stocks and the acreage pretty dramatically for the soybeans, didn't they?
Yes, they did. The acres especially, close to 2.7 million more. The stocks, they lowered from 435 down to 405. Industry thought they would lower them down to 378. And those bigger numbers pushed it immediately.
Yeah, so they pushed it lower, and the new crop finished down 70 cents. Will there be follow-through tonight and in tomorrow?
I think we'll, they pushed them so far. I think we'll see a little bit of bounce off of the lows. We're six off the lows here, down that 70 on the November. So I think there'll be a little bit of bounce. There'll be people that were short, maybe taking profit, that'll help with that bounce. But I think eventually, once the growing season ends, if these numbers are true, we will see it go lower by at least another dollar. But as of right now, because of the big move down, I expect to see it bounce a little.
Did this prompt any phone calls from your clientele saying, first, what happened, and secondly, what do I need to do?
We were trying to get people so that they were at least half sold on their crop and so that they were protected on the rest of the downside, protecting that downside because of the over $2 that beans had gone up from their last lows. And so it was something that we had been trying to get people to do to protect that downside.
Just to recap the numbers for the soybeans in March, the expectation was that farmers would plant 81.493 million acres of beans. And the farmers say in June, as of the first day, they actually planted 84.83 million acres of soybeans. In the stocks at 405 million bushels in the bin right now, that's what's left to use through the end of the year. All those numbers add up, though, to an ending stocks number for this year and next year, which we'll get a bit later in the month of July here, that will most likely be bigger than what we've seen for quite some time, maybe by 100 million bushels, I would think.
Yeah, by 100 million and a negative number for prices. And this is what people have been talking about, though, since early in the year about the potential for big, huge crop and for big, huge numbers that would help depress prices.
And USDA is showing us a 3.854 billion bushel in the bin. Grain stocks number at this point, that compares to last year at 2.766. Of course, that was on a drought-ridden year. The average trade guess was just 3.723, so the number for the grain stocks for corn was above its guesstimate, too.
And part of those numbers, if you look at them, are kind of numbers that they came up with that might be where they underestimated last year's yields also.
Yeah, and that, well, speaking of some of those sorts of things, I'm wondering whether, and maybe we can go back to the soybeans just a bit, because do you think that they underestimated yield or acreage last year on soybeans?
I think they could have, yes, very easily. And if you talk to and have heard people talking today, that's one of the things that was heavily talked about after the numbers came out.
The only number that was really kind of close, relatively speaking, and within the trade range at least, today was the acreage number for corn. That's at 91.641 million acres. In March, they said 91.691, so not that big a change there.
Not really that big a change, and if you look at 3.7 to 3.8 billion, that 100 million difference isn't that big either compared to what they did to the price of the crop.
Any reason that corn futures in the December contract can jump back up? It lost 22 cents. That was, look, appeared to be maybe more in sympathy with soybeans than anything else, but there might be something else underneath it.
There could be something underneath it, like that China has got a bigger crop and doesn't need as much, so that there's more available for the world. And maybe they underestimated corn yields a little bit last year also on those numbers.
Any final word from you today on this or on the livestock side?
I would be ready for bounces on the grain side. These lower numbers are going to help support the prices in the livestock. I mean, before this report came out to push the prices lower, we had feeder cattle down another dollar from where they ended, and they ended down probably $1.40, $1.50. So lower prices, though, makes livestock more valuable.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great one.
That is Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, filling in today for Kurt Kimmel, who normally joins us on a Monday afternoon. Thanks to him. And thanks to you, too, if you've already made your pledge of financial support to us. There's just a few hours left in this fiscal year. It ends for us at midnight today. If you can give us a call now at 217-244-9455, that would be great. Or you can just go online at willag.org. Make your pledge of financial support. You can do it at the top of the page by hitting that rectangle that says contribute now. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. Daryl Good joins us in studio to take up this morning's USDA acreage and grain stocks figures. Please review those numbers for me, Daryl.
Well, in the case of corn, we did see the estimate of June 1 stocks come in at 3.85 billion bushels, about 130 million bushels larger than expected. Corn acreage at just a bit over 91.6 million. That's pretty much in line with expectations and with March intentions that the USDA found in its survey earlier. The big surprise, I think, the important numbers were on soybeans. June 1 stocks at 405 million bushels. That's about 30 million bushels larger than the average trade guess. But on soybeans, with planted acres coming in well over 84 million, that's almost 3 million larger than the market was looking for. I think the combination of stocks reports and acreage numbers point to very large supplies of both crops, particularly soybeans.
Acreage numbers are fairly easy to understand. That's a survey, what USDA found from farmers. The grain stocks numbers, a little less easy to understand. Is there a reason that the number for soybeans grew?
There's not an obvious reason. One thing that's unknown in terms of anticipating that number is the magnitude of imports during the month of May. The Census Bureau will release that number later this week, and since we are importing a lot of soybeans this year, it may have been that May imports were larger than the market expected. The other possible explanation is that last year's crop was actually underestimated, and that was finally revealed by larger stocks in this report. I think either of those explanations may explain portion of the surprise, but that will all have to be revealed over time as we get new numbers.
The new numbers, the next set at least, will be the WASIA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate for the month of July. How much of it will be changed, do you think?
You know, I think USDA is likely to raise its projection of year-ending stocks of both corn and soybeans, probably resulting from a slightly lower projection of feed and residual use of corn. And we're also experiencing a bit of a slowdown in weekly shipments of corn. may see some trimming of the export projection. That change should be fairly minor, but the big news will be on their projections for the upcoming marketing year, assuming they continue to project record high yields for both corn and soybeans, which seems likely at this point. We're going to see, I think, a much larger projection of soybean stocks at the end of the 2014-15 marketing year, perhaps jumping by as much as 100 million bushels from the June forecast.
How often, your expectation is that they may very well up the ante for yield then, and obviously for total production because of the acreage. Will they do the yield at the same time, or will they hold off until August?
No, the yield will not be an official survey-based yield. It'll still be a projection based on models of crop conditions. So they've started with a projection of record yields based on those models, and I would expect those projections will be maintained in the July report.
It's not unheard of that for them to change a yield, but that usually would happen in May. That has happened in May in recent years for the WASDE figures, but not in July. So we'll wait until August, most likely.
Right. There have been some changes in July in extreme years, like 2012 drought. They did lower their yield projection prior to the official NAS survey in August, but I don't expect much of a change this year.
When you look forward, what do you see for the ending stocks now for soybeans in 2014-15?
I think we'll see those stocks probably approaching 400 million bushels, again, based on the current crop conditions and yield expectations. And assuming that this acreage number does hold up, it's going to be a very large number. It's going to put considerable pressure on soybean prices.
And for corn?
You know, I think, you know, USDA has been projecting that we will jump to 1.7 billion bushel carryover next year. I suspect that that will be at least that large and perhaps a little bit larger, because it seems like we now have potential for even higher corn yields. And if that does materialize, we're going to see some substantial build in stocks next year.
You were an early and relatively loud advocate of making new crop sales for corn. I suspect today has driven another nail in that coffin to the downside for pricing of the 2014 crop. Where do you see it going from here?
You know, I think you're going to continue to see some pressure on new crop corn prices. We took a pretty good hit right after these reports were released, but as long as the weather remains as favorable as it is and the crop conditions remain high, the market's going to begin to ante up on its yield expectations, and I think continued downside pressure. You got to really think that Dease corn at $4 is in the crosshairs now, and that potentially brings in crop insurance payments for the 2014 crop based on prices coming in well below the spring price.
USDA's numbers, at least pricing numbers for the new crop soybeans, have long been much lower than the old crop soybean. Will that target go down too?
I suspect it will go down. They maintain a pretty wide spread on their price projection for obvious reasons this early, but I suspect that the whole range will drop in the July report.
Any words of wisdom for producers who are a bit awestruck at this time, I suspect?
You know, there's really not much that can be said at this point. I mean, it's just that one of those situations where we got a double barrel surprise on both stocks and acreage that result in a very, very rapid price decline. I suspect there is some potential that there will be some over response and that there may be some slight rebound in prices after the initial reaction. But I think at this juncture, to expect any kind of sustained price rally in either corn or soybeans is probably not realistic.
Daryl, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget that you can find Daryl on the weekly outlook at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And one other item, Daryl, tomorrow morning you have a webinar that is open to those who would like to join you to talk about pricing of corn and soybeans.
Yes, Scott Irwin and myself will do a webinar at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning where we will briefly review the numbers that were in today's report and then develop balance sheets for corn and soybeans that reflect this new information and derive some price projections from those balance sheets.
Sign up ahead of time or join at the time?
Need to register ahead of time. It's a free webinar, but we do require pre-registration.
And you do that on the FarmDoc Daily website?
Absolutely. Yes.
FarmDocDaily.illinois.edu. Thanks, Darrell.
Thank you.
Darrell Good, of course, an ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. I try to make sure that there is a link to the registration for that webinar that Darrell and Scott Irwin will host tomorrow morning. It is at 8 a.m., and we'll put that registration link up on the willag.org website. That's willag.org, so that it's easy for you to find. Now on this Monday afternoon, let's check to see how the USDA reports from this morning impacted the cash grain markets. Amy Sage is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Did you have a fun day, Amy?
Well, not too much, actually. Obviously, the market didn't go the direction most out there would have liked it to, so not too fun of a day, but eventful nonetheless.
Well,
so.
And they called in, and what they want to do, just be consoled?
For the most part, yeah. You know, we did have some people take some protection ahead of this thing, so that's good. You know, you never know which way it's going to go on a June 30th report. And unfortunately, today it wasn't the right direction and saw, obviously, I'm sure everybody's already talked about the increase in the soybean acres out there and probably took corn down a little bit further than what it even needed to go today, too, to follow that market. So,
did they start asking you today about the crop insurance and when it pays and those sorts of things?
We did have some refreshers on that today as well, yes.
You know, what do the numbers look like? Do you have those in front of you?
I do. So, obviously, the February insurance average on corn was 462, and on soybeans, we had 1136. And, you know, just talking through with trend yield adjusted protection there and 85% of people's APH and how that's going to affect, you know, their actual yields, given an estimate today of what each individual person thinks they're going to have. So individual scenarios, obviously, one by one, but definitely looking at those situations right now.
So the USDA has their stats out, and sometimes it does reflect what's happening on the ground. Sometimes it does not. But what always does is the local cash price and demand in the area. So tell me about basis and what's happening here.
Yes, yeah, so obviously, we had to go to the September today as well, so you're seeing a lot of adjustments being made with that along the way. The spread did have quite an eventful day today, too, going from the July to the Sep for the nearby basis market. But we've seen rail values ease back a little bit here as well as processors, which on a down day like this, typically you would expect the opposite just to make up for a little bit of cash selling. And we may see that going forward if we continue to sell off in the futures market. But today, adjusting for a spread and getting out of that July position, we actually are seeing some weaker values in the nearby cash grain market. Now, as far as fall goes, I doubt we're going to see too much activity here for the next couple weeks. So.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Amy Sage, of course, is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Ice Cream Soda Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1831, the first U.S. patent for a platform scale was issued to the Fairbanks brothers of St. Johnsbury, Vermont. In 1886, the U.S. Division of Forestry was established by an act of Congress. The act also opened up timberland for legitimate uses and established the principles by which federally owned forest land would be reserved for public use. In 1905, the U.S. Division of Forestry moved from the Department of the Interior to USDA. In 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Meat Inspection Act were passed by Congress. In 1985, James A. Dewar died. He is the creator of the golden sponge cake with a creamy filling, better known as the Twinkie. By the way, Twinkies originally contained banana cream filling, but was replaced with vanilla cream filling during a banana shortage during World War II. And in 1996, Dr. Edward Anton Asselberg is believed to have died. He developed the process for making instant mashed potato flakes, the patent that is still used worldwide today. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now the weather forecast with John Davis. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It has been rainy, and we've had, I guess we can say we're almost wrapped up, although there is some rainfall around. We've had a really good month of June, at least in the state of Illinois, 7 inches and 4/10 locally here at the Urbana radio station. Not too bad.
Yeah, June has been a month that featured warm temperatures but no real heat and a lot of rainfall. And for most areas, that's been a very good month. And the only areas that have been any kind of a problem are out in places such as western Iowa and eastern South Dakota, where they've gotten too much rainfall, and there are some excess wetness issues across those locales. But again, that is the minority of acreage out there, and the vast majority of acreage is in very good shape, obviously ample moisture levels, and certainly no heat to speak of here lately.
So will they continue to get rainfall in those areas, and will it become a problem as opposed to an annoyance?
There is going to be more rainfall across those areas. However, the overall pattern does not look like it's going to feature as heavy of rainfall coming up as what has occurred over the past couple of weeks. So by no means are they going to be on the dry side, but the pattern is a little bit different coming up, and it doesn't look like they're going to get any kind of extremely heavy rainfall across those areas. So certainly the situation out there should not get worse. Some areas will improve faster than others, but certainly it does not look like you're going to be in a situation where the moisture problems are just going to accelerate across those areas.
It appears in a large part of central Illinois, because I have traveled through it, and I suspect a large part of the Midwest. Corn will tassel this week, pollinate in the next 2 weeks, and soybeans are flowering. What kind of conditions can they expect for both rainfall and heat?
Over the next couple of weeks, we're looking at temperatures on the warm side, but not to levels that are problematic, either for corn pollination or for development of soybeans across the central Midwest. So a warm pattern, but no excessive heat. So nothing in the way of any kind of really major problems. And rainfall-wise, again, it looks a little bit drier than what we've been through over the past couple of weeks, but still some shower activity coming through most areas to keep soil moisture level is quite good.
Any place around the planet, in the northern hemisphere in particular, the growing regions for corn and soybeans that are that might be showing stress or a problem?
India is a problem. Their monsoon has been extremely sporadic over the past couple of weeks. It continues to look like it's going to be sporadic into the early portion of July. And so really, from a foreign standpoint, the problem out there is the Indian monsoon.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Earth Risk Technologies. He is in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Just one last time, if you have the wherewithal and would like to help us out, we hope to raise $2.2 million to help fund our programming here for the next fiscal year. That starts at 12:01 a.m. this evening, and you can help us out. We're not too many thousands worth of dollars away at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Make sure you tell them or write down that you're in support of agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason.